Oh, hey, and welcome back to Genspired, the podcast. I am your host, Jennifer Batog. Before we begin, please remember that I'm not a medical professional nor a licensed therapist. I am, however, a spiritual being having a human experience right along with you. Please trust and use your own judgment, discernment, and intuition. These episodes are based on my spiritual journey, growth, and my own experiences. My intention is that they will reach a collective of people meant to find them. An additional little trigger warning for this episode, as it does cover the topic of bullying in all its forms. As a result, just be mindful when listening. My goal is that something in it helps, even just a little. All right, let's get into it. Let's get Genspired. The recognition of bullying has come a long way in the past several decades. Years ago, when I was younger, it wasn't talked about or mentioned in the media as much as it is now. We've come to understand the importance of recognizing it and getting support to those who need it, as it can have some of the most lasting underlying effects. If you look up the term bullying in a Google search, this is what you'll find. The repetitive, intentional hurting of one person or group by another person or group, where the relationship involves an imbalance of power. Bullying can be physical, verbal, or psychological. It can happen face-to-face or online. When I was younger, I would have classified it as the constant need to make yourself feel good at the expense of someone else. I'd also add the constant ridicule of someone for just being themselves, often by individuals who feel the need to have some power or control over you. It shows up in many forms. For example, in actual physical bullying, verbal, social, cyberbullying, religious bullying, sexual and disability bullying. In any case, I believe all can and are true. And the deeper you look into someone's past and their present, I'll bet you find most to all of us have experienced this in one form or another. The reason bullying can be so lasting is how it affects a person's psyche and overall emotional health. And if it happens on a consistent basis, it can and likely will take years and years to overcome it. But I'm here to tell you, it's not your fault. I'm walking proof of that. You see, if you were to meet me in person, you'd probably think I've got my shit together. I run my own business, take charge and lead where I need to. I'm a supportive friend, rarely come into any drama, take care of myself and those I love, and most of the time present as this super together, fun, creative person, which I am. But let me tell you, it's taken a while to get here. There are days that some of the deepest wounds from past bullying still come to the surface. Even now, at 47 years old, my inner child can still feel and remember the sting and the pain of my bullies. Allow me to share some stories, and once I'm through, hopefully you'll be able to connect on some level, and perhaps together we can continue to grow, educate, and come through to the other side a bit more healed and aware that it wasn't our fault. Bullying for me started in middle school. It may have started sooner, but my memory only shares with me stories of that particular time. I grew up in a middle-class working home. I had two parents and a younger brother. We lived in a modest house, shared one bathroom, and tried not to annoy the shit out of each other when we'd get underfoot. I went to a smaller-sized school that had kindergarten to grade 9 within its walls. So essentially, you went to school with the same kids for 9 years. They were part of your life all day, every day, as you grew up. Back then, and I assume as there is now, there were cliques in my school. The popular rich kids and then the rest of us. The rest of us consisted of some creative kids, some quiet kids, some shy kids, and some kids who just like to keep to themselves. The popular, more wealthier kids ran the school. They dictated who sat where, who lined up behind who did what with who on the weekends, that kind of thing. Recess was the same. They had their places and spots to gather, and you weren't allowed to be around them. I was a kid who kind of floated. I had friends who were creative, friends who were shy, friends who kept to themselves, and what I thought at the time, friends who were considered cool. At least, they'd sometimes make me feel that way. I remember a specific time when the bullying started. I was invited to a sleepover party with some of the cooler girls. When I got there, everyone sort of ignored me and were whispering and giggling and running around the house. I didn't really know what to do, so I just went to the little loft space where we were sleeping and made up my bed. I had my sleeping bag and my PJs and some clothes for the next day and sort of laid out this little area for myself. I should also add, I was a really neat and tidy kid. I kept my room immaculate and was always organized and prepared. I still am, actually. The mom of the girl having the sleepover called us all to the kitchen for a snack, and when I got there, everyone was in a circle giggling. I felt awkward. I kind of sat at the table alone and ate the snack the mom had prepared. I vividly remember them all leaving the kitchen at the exact same time, and me putting my plate on the counter and thanking the mom for the snack. She told me to go play, and so I went to find the other girls. Well, I found them, in the loft sleeping space going through my stuff. They messed up all of my things, and they hid my clothes. They told me I had a cheap sleeping bag because my mom couldn't afford real puffy, comfortable blankets. I just stood there, frozen. I didn't know what to do or say. Here I was, a little girl being invited to her first sleepover ever, and as it turns out, they just wanted me there to make fun of me. I started to cry, which just gave them more fuel. So I went back to the kitchen and called my mom from the house phone. My mom came to get me, and when she asked me why I wasn't sleeping over, I lied to her and told her I wasn't feeling well. In my little girl mind, I thought I had done something wrong by just being myself, so I wasn't about to tell my mom the real reason. The weeks that followed were horrible for me. I was teased relentlessly for what I wore, what I said, for getting good grades, for being friends with the loser kids, as they called them, for living where I lived, and for not going on a fancy vacation during March break. One girl even spit her grape drink all over my new white pants. It was pretty terrible. These girls were absolutely dimming my light with every word they spoke. I finally told my mom what was going on, and she made an appointment for me to see the guidance counselor. Now look, what I've come to heal through is that the adults in my life were only trying to help. But the fact that I had to see a counselor and not the kids doing the bullying is something I've had to make peace with. At the time, I thought there was something wrong that I had to see the shrink because, well, the popular girls didn't have to, so it must have been me. Had to be me. I was the problem. There was no other explanation in my middle school girl mind. It was my fault they were being mean. I was doing something to make them bully me. I remember during one session, the counselor said to me, "Jennifer, you have to try and find a way to fit in with these girls. Otherwise, they will continue to call you names. Do your best to be brave and try and make friends with them." My guidance counselor was a 70-something-year-old lady at the time. May she rest in peace. But she wasn't dishing out the best advice. Luckily, my little girl soul wasn't buying it. I just told her and my mom that I wasn't interested in making friends with them. You know, that part of this story still makes me smile. Without realizing it, I had a bit of spunk in me back then. Not much changed in the years to come. I just sort of adapted to their constant need to make fun of me. I sort of just became immune to it, I guess. Then we all went off to high school. In high school, I had a childhood friend who was 1 year younger than me. She and I were inseparable. We did absolutely everything together. And when I mean everything, I mean everything. She stayed over at my house all the time, even during school nights. My family took her with us on our road trips. She had dinner with us almost every night. We did everything as a unit, she and I. And when you are that good of friends with someone, you tell them everything, including your crushes on boys. My first crush was a boy I really, really liked. He was so cute and so sweet, and I gushed about him all the time to her. So she knew everything there was to know about him because I couldn't shut up about him. I mean, he didn't know I liked him because, gosh, why would he? That's what crushes are, hidden. I used to talk about him so much, I'm sure it drove her nuts. Well, nuts she must have been, because what transpired next not only is the ultimate form of betrayal, but one of the deepest wounds I've ever felt in my life. One day at school, while I was walking to her locker to meet her during the break, she was there, with him, my crush. She had her arms around him and was giving him little kisses on his cheek. He was smiling and looking down at her. I was frozen. Again. I didn't know what to do. She turned her head to the side, and she caught me from the corner of her eye. She just looked back at me and gave him a huge, wet, sloppy teenager who's never been kissed by a boy kind of kiss. I walked to my next class shaking. I didn't and couldn't understand what I just saw. I barely got through that class, and when she finally found me after school, these were her words to me. I don't know what you're so mad about. You're way too sensitive, Jennifer. He likes me, he told me today. So you're just going to have to get over it and realize that. You're not his type, I am. And you're just going to have to deal with it. I'm more popular than you are anyway. That was one of the last times I spoke to her during our time in high school. Several years later, we reconnected, and I forget how or where, but we were sort of friends again. We never spoke about that time in our lives, though, which in hindsight didn't help because we should have. Otherwise, I could have saved myself twice more from this girl. Fast forward to her wedding, and she asked me to be her maid of honor. I said yes. I helped her with everything she needed for her big day, and I did everything she asked of me and more. By this time, she had been dating her soon-to-be husband for years, which, in case anyone is wondering, no, it's not the crush from high school. She married someone else. Her wedding day came, and we had a great time. I gave a heartfelt speech, dance, and made sure she was feeling her best. A few weeks later, I had gone up to visit her as she was having a house party. I noticed when I first walked in that she had hung up some of her wedding photos, and I was really excited to see them. As I climbed the stairs, I saw one of her and her husband, one of her and her parents, and then one of her and the bridal party. I stopped and had to look at that last one for a few minutes because I couldn't find me in the photo. I said to her, "Hey, these pictures are gorgeous, but girl, like, where am I in this one?" pointing to the one of the bridal party. Her response brought me right back to being the teenager in the hallway seeing her kiss my crush. She said, "Yeah, well, you see, everyone in the wedding party has dark hair, and you were the only one with light hair, so the photographer suggested we crop you out for aesthetic purposes. Looks really nice though, right? Like everyone in their dark clothes and dark hair." I didn't know what to say or if I even heard her correctly. She knew I was puzzled, and so she continued on and said, "Come on, Jen, it's not a big deal. You're so sensitive. You need to toughen up a bit." Subtle nod to her narcissistic bullying tendencies. Much of that weekend remains a blur, but I do remember feeling lower than I'd felt in a long time. You see, bullying doesn't always have to be constant. It can come in the most subtle of forms. For years, as I look back, I realized just how negative this person was in my life, how much over time she put me down, used me for her own gain, and would, in her subtle ways, try and keep me in my place, which in her mind was below her. The final straw, which, let's be honest, should have been the first straw, but that's the beauty of lessons. Sometimes they need repeating to learn them. But also, it took me a long time to realize that this was an actual form of bullying. While she never physically hurt me Over the course of many years, she would cut me subtly with her words and her actions, even when she was old enough to know better. My final encounter with her was just after her first child was born. She had been asking me to visit for a while, and I was hesitant. I had tried to put distance between her and I, and she kept trying to reel me back in. She called me emotional one day and kind of begged me to see her and the baby. So I figured I should. I mean, it's not the baby's fault that I'm estranged from her mother. I drove up for a visit and spent time with her and the baby. Then she had her husband watch their daughter so she and I could go grab a coffee and catch up. I didn't want to go, but I went anyway. During the coffee outing, she looked me straight in the eye and told me that she expected more of me. I needed to be a better friend to her now that she was a mother. I needed to make her and her daughter a priority in my life, and how dare I make her beg me to visit them? It was all my fault that she was lonely and scared and a new mom and didn't have my friendship. She called me selfish, and then the dagger came. She said, "No wonder you're single. I can see why you aren't getting dates, let alone settling down and getting married." And then casually just sipped her coffee. Again, I couldn't believe what I was hearing, let alone what I was allowing myself to hear. In the moment, because I am an empath and it takes me a while to realize when I'm being stomped on, I didn't say anything to her. I finished my coffee, got in my car, and went home. I never saw her again. To this day, I haven't spoken to her since. She did try and reach out a few times, but I never returned any of her calls or made any attempts to see her. I was finally able to see how much her bullying affected me over the course of those years. At some point in my journey, I also met another girl at a random encounter, and we became friends. She was different than a lot of my other childhood friends. She had a bit of a traumatic past and was a little more rough around the edges. And I don't mean that in a judgmental way. She was just different than anyone I'd been around before. Fast forward to about a year into our friendship, and the cracks started to show. I started to see how she would make me feel bad for her, so I'd lend her money. She'd never have a ride anywhere, so I'd drive her places. When we'd go out, she'd hit on anyone I even remotely said was cute. And then one day, when I told her I couldn't drive her to work, she said to me, "Jennifer, you have no friends. You need me. I would be more careful if I were you. Drive me to work, and then we'll go out tonight, and I'll help you meet some guys." Again, it took me a while to see the pattern, but once I realized I was being bullied, I ended that friendship. She got quite mad at me and made my life miserable for about a week, but then found another girl to latch onto. This is why, to this day, and a lot of people who know me might be surprised to hear this, I struggle with female friendships. I don't trust women. Since I can remember, they've used me and bullied me and then discarded me. Or I've figured shit out on my own and the relationship fell apart. But as an adult, I don't have a circle of girlfriends. I don't have girls' nights. I haven't done very many girls' trips. I don't have my tribe. I just don't trust that many women. Most to all of the women I've had for bosses or leaders resembled in some shape or form friends from the past, and they'd trigger me in some way. It's a lasting effect of the bullying that I'm actually still working through. While these stories from my childhood are certainly hard, and when I was in the midst of it all, challenging to grow up in, I cannot even begin to imagine what it's like for kids now, with social media and the internet. In my day, they were armed with words and fists and nastiness to your face. Now, kids have that on top of being able to hide themselves behind computer keyboards and just have their way with you. They stand behind comment sections and arm themselves with hateful words, sending threatening text messages, creating and sharing embarrassing photos or images of you, shaming and/or excluding you from anything online, calling you out online just to embarrass you. They post hurtful messages on your social media pages. I mean, they can be relentless in their tactics. All anyone ever wants is to feel a sense of belonging. And when you get trolled and called out all the time, it creates such a devastating sense of loneliness in someone. Adults do this too in comment sections. You see it everywhere. These people were likely bullies in their youth and never did any work on themselves. So they become and remain bullies well into their adult life. And then worst case, they start raising a new crop of bullies. But it's not your fault. Bullying can take on many forms. My examples just now were of the school and so-called friendship kind. But bullying can come in the workplace, in romantic relationships, and in your family dynamics. I've been bullied in the workplace more times than I'd like to admit, and wow, thinking back on it, it can be so freaking subtle. By the time I was an adult making my way in the corporate world, bullying showed up in the form of really passive-aggressive colleagues and bosses. Misogyny is also a form of bullying. The scariest kind, because its premise is in the hatred of women. So it's expressed with hurtful and hateful sexualized language, which aims to imply that women are inferior. I dare you to find a single woman out there who hasn't experienced this on some level, romantic, platonic, or professional. And then these male bullies come at you with, "I'm just joking. Man, you women take things so seriously." Well, F you. When you've been bullied as much as most of us have, we take that shit seriously. I've witnessed bullying in relationships, both my own and in others. It's sometimes the hardest to spot because it can be masked in a playful banter or followed by a subtle laugh. But someone who is constantly putting you down or telling you how stupid or dumb you are for this or that, or, "Oh my gosh, look at you, look back at your nonsense again." If it's constant and consistent, it's bullying. Don't question it. If someone is trying to control you in every aspect of your life and what you say or do, that's bullying in the form of control and manipulation. Even if they say it with the most beautiful smile on their face. When our most intimate partner subjects us to this type of behavior, it can be the hardest thing to see clearly. You may want to shrug it off as, "Oh, that's just how they are," or, "They're just being silly," or, "Don't mind them, they're always teasing me about stuff." No. Playful and silly is like tickling each other or being goofy together, not the constant attack on your soul and your personality. If you're always on edge or feeling like you have to tiptoe around and not upset your partner, you're being bullied. Relationships in any form is this beautiful, peaceful reciprocity and harmony. If you're not experiencing that, it's the wrong relationship for you, regardless of its form. There is also a misconception that bullying is this loud, physical thing you can see clearly, but that's not entirely true. Rather, it's often subtle, slow, and insidious mistreatment that passes over our radar. Some forms of this can include things like deceit. So repeatedly lying and not telling the truth, so you're deceiving someone to get your own way. Intimidation, which is like a fear-inducing style of communication. Ignoring. That's like forgetting to invite someone to something on purpose or selectively greeting people and not others. Rationalizing. Constantly justifying or defending bad behavior or making excuses for acting a certain way. Minimization. Making your problem seem small, or minimizing your feelings towards something, projecting shame and guilt. There are also bullies who like to pit people against each other, creating unreal drama and issues to drive a wedge between them. And lastly, excessive flattery. Using a lot of compliments to get people to trust you and help lower your defenses. I've fallen victim to this a few times. Adept bullies and manipulators are often extremely controlling people who are attuned to certain personality traits to exploit others. They are skilled people readers and make it their mission to understand someone's flaws or perceived weaknesses and then figure out a tactic that they can use against them. Some of the most subtle bullies I've come across are what an onlooker would say is a charming, pleasant-mannered person. And I'm not just talking about men. I've been bullied by just as many women as men, so I'm not throwing shade at one gender or another here. Bullying doesn't just exist within one sex. At the root of bullying lies someone who is likely hurt, because remember, hurt people hurt people. When someone is a bully, it gives them a sense of power over someone else because perhaps there were times they felt powerless and swore they never wanted to feel that way again. Sometimes it takes on a form of revenge or pure anger towards something or someone. It's also them wanting to dominate over someone else to improve their self-esteem or their social status. If they think someone is watching and that person likes their behavior, they will keep doing it. Bullies have a lack of self-esteem in most cases. Even if they look like a put-together, confident person, on the inside, they are lacking confidence in themselves and failing to recognize their behavior as being a bully. And all of this to say again, it's not your fault. I'm not excusing it by any means. Most of the time, it just comes from a place of being unhealed, so a bully needs to take out whatever they're feeling on someone else. I worked for a woman once who was a walking, talking, breathing bully, like outright. It was something I'd never come across before, so much so I didn't know what to do. Like, how was this woman just this blatant about it and no one was saying anything? Most of us just looked at each other, stunned at what she said, did, and how she acted. She called people out in front of others, threw shade and blame around, and never once had any accountability for her actions. As a team, we spoke about it because bullies try to isolate people, so we rallied to support one another. While we probably could have handled it better, one by one, each of us just left the company and moved on with our lives. But during the time under her employment, I've never felt more shame or guilt for just being who I was. She did a number on me, even as a full-grown adult. I specifically remember her saying to me once, "You know, Jen, you'll never get a leadership role with this company or any other company. You know that, right? I mean, people like you, but you aren't made to be a leader. Leaders are strong, and like, you're not." Like, WTF, what and why in the world? Ugh, just thinking about her makes my stomach queasy. I had to work through why I accepted that behavior and how I'll recognize it going forward. And when I say work through it, I mean go there in the shadows and uncover how it feels and felt to hear those things and witness those things. How to be strong in my conviction of who I am and what I am. Because at my core, I am an authentic empath who just wants harmony, peace, and joy in her life. That's it. I'm so genuine that people have used that as a weapon against me. They have mistaken my kindness for weakness, my sweetness for powerlessness. They think because I'm a nice person, they can say and do these things to me and I'll keep coming back for more. That I'll keep feeding the bully machine. Up until recently, that may have worked, but not anymore. Because I realize it's not my fault. You see, those stories I told you about earlier, well, I still see some of those sleepover girls once in a while. Random sightings at grocery stores, or they'll come up in the people you may know in my social media feed. And before recently, as soon as I'd see their faces or be near them or bump into them, I'd revert back to that little middle school girl. I would turtle inward and still think for whatever reason that I wasn't popular or cool, even at this age. So does bullying have a lasting effect? Yes, without question. It did a number on my self-esteem for decades, and through all of my relationship would show itself in one form or another through my behavior. I remember one time I saw one of the sleepover girls at the grocery store and she looked really tired. And as our carts passed by each other, she gave me that fake smile she used to give me back in high school, and I just half grinned and kept walking. For whatever reason, I'd get so worked up on the drive home, it would ruin my night. I'd sit and say, "Freak her, she's still the same bitch she's always been. Why'd I have to run into her? God, I can't stand her." And I'd stew in that emotion for a while. But through my spiritual journey and a lot of growth and a lot of understanding about myself, I realize now that I was giving her too much power. She probably hasn't thought about me not for a single second in her life. So when you carry resentment around, you're actually only hurting yourself. So instead, I forgave her. And then it started a snowball of forgiving all of them. I started by writing down the names of all the girls who bullied me. And then beside each of their name, I would write why I was forgiving them. And that forgiveness had nothing to do with them and everything to do with me. Then I cut up each of their names and the forgiveness reason into strips, and I set those strips on fire in my kitchen sink. I watched each of them burn and told myself to just let it go. Finally, just let it go. Well, that started this beautiful burning ceremony that I have now whenever I find myself working through the muck of forgiveness. I've done it with family, with work colleagues, bosses, and romantic partners. And I'm happy to say I'm free. Free of resentment and free with this beautiful forgiveness of myself. I forgive and appreciate myself as the little middle school girl who was just only being who she was. I forgive the guidance counselor for suggesting I do better and make friends with my bullies. I forgive that friend who kissed my crush, photoshopped me out of her wedding photos, and blamed me for her loneliness. I forgive that boss who made me feel small when she, in fact, felt small. I forgive the boyfriends who told me I was too much or loved them too much or was trying too hard. Well, if I was too much, then go look for less. I forgive the colleague who took credit for my work and then tried to create a divide between me and the others on my team. I forgive the jackass who told me to downplay my creative talents because they weren't necessary for our type of client. I forgive all of you and release you all from my energy. Bullying can take on many forms and have really damaging long-term effects and consequences if you let them. But if you're open and willing to dig in there and find the muck and work through it, you can release it from the depths of your soul and heart and be free to just be the beautiful, magical being that you are. As you move forward in your life, you'll be able to recognize it and put a stop to it. In fact, let's do that together. If we witness it happening, let's say something and try to mitigate the risk of it having a lasting impression on someone else. Some signs to look out for, though, in case you see any changes in someone's behavior when it comes to thinking they may be falling victim to bullying, is changes in their personality. So becoming more withdrawn, like the spark has gone out of them. They show signs of lack of self-worth and self-esteem. People-pleasing tendencies. Like me, I thought if I did more, people would like me more and the bullying would stop. Well, we all know that's not the case. Victims of bullying are at a higher risk for mental health issues, depression, anxiety, social withdrawal, and in some extreme cases, suicidal ideation. If you or someone you know is being bullied and doesn't know what to do, do this. Just listen to them. Don't try and rationalize it or fix it. Just listen. And then with all the compassion in your heart, ask them what you can do to help. And if you're unsure how to help, in the comments section, I'm going to provide support organizations and phone numbers. Bullying is a real issue with both kids and adults and can come in both loud and quiet forms. Thank you for listening to this really important topic. If any of this resonates with you and you feel just a little bit better, then that's a big win for all of us. Because remember, it's not your fault. Oh, and before I go, Remember my crush? The one I told you about at the beginning? Well, he's a happily married man now with children, which isn't the point. My point is, I saw him a few years ago. We ran into each other at an airport, and I got a chance to catch up with him for quite a while. When I sat down next to him, I was brought back to the teenage girl with her crush. He's still super sweet and kind, and he made my heart flutter. The difference now is that as an adult, I don't see him kissing my friend in the hallway near her locker. I see him as the sweet crush from many moons ago. So while my bully may have thought she won that round, she didn't. Because he can still remain my crush in this pure, innocent way, and I love that for me. I know the universe gave me that airport encounter so that I could be reminded of such. Putting this podcast out to you has been therapy for me. I cried my way through writing it, and if you hear a catch in my throat at any point, it's because I'm really proud of how far I've come. If you're dealing with bullying, past or present, then I want that for you too. Because it's not your fault. As always, if you've been Genspired, please leave a comment below. I'd love to hear from you.